Now let us continue reading from verse 24. It said, now when she had weaned him, now of course you know what happened. Okay, let me just read a few verses more there, which verse 20. Yeah, I should read verse 20. And it came about in due time, after Anna had conceived, that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Now go on to verse 24 that I said you should go on to earlier. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with a 3-year-old bull and 1 ephah of flour and a jug of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, although the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli. And she said, oh my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me a petition which I asked of him. Giving me my petition, sorry. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord as long as he lives. He is dedicated to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there. Please notice this. The boy, after she weaned him, I don't know exact age, but he was very young. Now, I have a little boy that's 2 years old. While I was reading this story, I imagined that I have to go and give him to, you understand, in the temple somewhere. That means he's no longer my son. He's now the son of God, you know how they say. And I will see him once a year. Then I understood what Hannah did. Her first child, at this time, the only one. And the Bible said he was very young. Then I understood what Hannah did. You know, you hear stories so much, this story, that you have lost the... Yes, you can't appreciate the passion involved. That this woman did not have a child for a long time. Then she finally got one little boy. And then she took the boy because she had promised and dropped him in the temple and went away. And said, this was what I promised. According to my promise, this boy is dedicated all his life. And the sign is that no razor will touch his head. But number one, he will not even live in my house. Drop him in the temple. Which, as far as she was concerned, was the house of God. Listen, it was a great sacrifice. It was like Abraham killing Isaac. Now, let's continue our reading. Which verse... Okay, we stop in verse 28. All right? Now, go on to chapter 2, verse 11. Now, between verses 1 and 10, she was praising God as she was filled with the Spirit. Then, verse 11 said, then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah. But the boy ministered to the Lord before Eli, the priest. He said, now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. That's not relevant to our reading. Let's go on to verse 18. Now, Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy wearing a linen ephod. And his mother will take him a little robe, will make him a little robe and bring it to him from year to year when she will come up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli will bless Elkanah and his wife and say, may the Lord give you children from this woman in place of the one she dedicated to the Lord. And they went to their own home. And the Lord visited Anna, and she conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the boy Samuel grew before the Lord. Now, let me stop my reading there. I have read this whole length because I'm talking about the Anna principle. You understand? And it's important that we read the Bible at length so that we get our stories correctly. For example, I used to think Samuel was 3 when they took him to the temple. But I realized that it was the bull that was 3 years old, not Samuel. It was the animal that was sacrificed. So we don't know how old Samuel was. We just know he was young. We should always read our Bible. That's why I said to read this at length. And then because this is the mainstay of what we are discussing, it is good also to get the story right in everybody's heart. What do I want us to note here? We are talking about activating the blessing of God. Without being able to go into details or having too much proof, I have a few things to say about Anna. She must have been a very good person. Listen, her husband was a good man who most likely married another wife because of pressures in their society. And despite the fact that she married another wife, she still loved Hannah more. And Penina was probably responding to the favor, you understand, of the husband on Hannah. You understand? Just the way the two wives of Jacob used to be jealous of each other. So she probably felt like, what is it, self? You want to die because of this woman? She born picking for you, so. You understand? And she, out of her own jealousy, went out of her way to make life miserable for Hannah. But Penina is not our story. She was just put there by God to stir up Hannah, because Hannah came in verse 16 and said, I have spoken until now because of my great concern and provocation. If Penina wasn't there, she would have enjoyed her husband so much and never had Samuel. Do you get what I'm trying to say? God works in diverse ways, and he uses people's lives, their societies, their standards, the things that they value. He uses them to bring forth his purpose. Penina was good for Anna. Without Penina, Anna would never have conceived. Without Penina, Samuel would not have been born. Get that point clear. Because you have to understand that Elkanah loved Anna plenty, despite the fact that he had another wife that was bearing children. And God is very good. He made sure Penina was a bad woman. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hey, no, Penina was a bad woman. Like somebody said once, maybe Anna will call one of Penina's. Penina had at least 4 children, we know, because they have sons and daughters. So when you're saying sons, there must be 2 or more. Daughters, there must be 2 or more. So she had at least 4 children. Maybe she'll call the eldest boy, say, please help me cut wood there. Penina will hear, like, cut wood for who? Eh? Joab, if you don't get back here, I will remove your head from your neck. Which kind of nonsense is that? Won't you go have other people won't go have their children, will be sending other people's children. If the boy wounds now, it is his mother that will take care of him. All these women that don't have their children, and will be saying it so that Anna will hear. Anna won't sleep for the next 2 days, neither will she eat. And Elkanah will be provoked also. Despite what Elkanah must have done, Penina did not stop. And God hardened the heart of Penina that she refused to stop. The Hannah, until you get down to the temple and pray the correct prayer, this woman will finish you. Listen, there are harassments in life that God puts there to help you. There are things that God just puts so that, look, when you have been harassed enough, you and I will be able to talk properly. Elihu spoke to Job. He said, God speaks once. He speaks all kinds of ways, in dreams, in visions. Men don't hear. Then he sends chastisement to their bones. The man will lose weight, lose appetite. He loses so much with all his bones will show. He said, just before he dies, maybe there will be a messenger that will come and tell him, this is the wrong thing. That is, God has been trying to talk, you have refused to hear, until some irritation comes to your bones. Again, Penina is not my story. It is Hannah. The main thing I want you to understand, if you go back to listen to our messages that we preached on man and assignment, following the will of God, and stuff like that, we said, extensively examining Psalm 46, Psalm 139, yes, 139, then we read the life of Jeremiah, who God told in Psalm 139, he said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Before there was any one of the days, you knew all the days of my life. They were written in your books. In Psalm 40, Jesus was speaking prophetically. He said, I come in the volume of the books that is written of me to do thy will. He said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. Now, notice that thy law is within my heart. We also explained that what God told Jeremiah, that before you were born, I knew you. I consecrated you. I made you a prophet to the nations. That is not unique to Jeremiah, because the same thing he spoke concerning Paul. That Paul said, God who knew me from my mother's womb and called me to perform these purposes. That, you see, when people give their lives to Christ, what they are saying in effect is that I am going back to find the purpose for which God created me so that I might serve him by doing that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There's a message I preached long ago, God in your secular world. In that tape, I was explaining to people that the service of God is not what you preach in church, not what you do in church. There was a tape you lent me, Oyekachukwu, in which the man of God was speaking about prosperity. And I was impressed by the message, but there was one thing he said, and I shook my head and said, you see, this is a premise in the heart of believers that is absolutely wrong. The man was saying that, he was explaining why God will bless you. He said, because of your dedication. He said, anytime they call for Bible study, you are there. Anytime they say, bring your car to church for work, you bring it. Anytime there is work to be done in church, you have come. Every time they say there is a crusade or retreat, you have arrived there. He said, all these things are signs of your dedication, your service to God, and God will bless you in return. I shook my head and said, that is not true. That is the service of man most of the time, and God doesn't reward people much for it. I'm sorry, most Christians don't like to hear it, but it is a fact of life. Do you know why a lot of so-called, in quote, unbelievers or not serious Christians are making money and being blessed? We are talking about activating the blessings of God. Because they are doing what God called them to do. And not having been raised up in a place where they feel they have to impress the leader of the assembly, they are generally free in their spirit. And there's so much liberty that they can serve God in truth. What is the service of God? The service of God really is for you to, like Jeremiah, begin to prophesy. It's for if you are poor, you will go and minister to the Gentiles. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And if you are Hannah, this is why I'm telling the story, you will get ready to give birth to a child that you will dash to God. That is, it was critical that Hannah did not become a nun. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It was critical to God that she never consecrated her own life to not having a husband. Hannah had to bear God a child. The service of God is that she raises her children properly. Let me tell you what. You know, my wife has been gone for some time now, and they are going to come back very soon. There are times I'm alone in the house. I miss my wife a lot, and I love my kids, especially my firstborn, because he's the one I have played with. This little one is just being born, all right? Now, Achilles is an exciting child. You understand? He thrills you. You know, the Benin that they're staying with my parents-in-law, anytime they start telling you stories of the thing the boy does, you know. Now, 2-year-old boy, they say one day, the cook in the house took some food from his plate to give to somebody else. So the boy looked at him and said, Thompson, come. Like, what is it that you just did? Will you return that food now, you know? No, it's an exciting boy. I love to play with him. You know, now he talks, you know. When I call his mom on the phone, she'll give him the phone. And we'll talk, how are you? Say, I'm fine. You know, we'll talk, we'll pray on the phone. In Jesus' name, we'll tell you, amen. Praise the Lord. Shout hallelujah. You know, really exciting little boy. Now, but I asked myself at the point in time, the boy destroys me. Destroys my TV. Can destroy it. Look, the carpenters walked in my house today, reinforcing doors before he comes back. Place, do you think, you didn't think a little child could climb? Try him. Very strong and energetic young boy. So I was thinking to myself that this is my laptop. It will have to leave this bedroom because Akinwole is coming back home. I thought of all the harassments. I sent my wife a text. I'm missing you, Sha, but I'm not sure I'm looking forward to this boy coming back now. Because my freedom is about to vanish. I'm serious. I had to start putting locks. And I put a lock in my study that's very high at the top of the door so that he can't reach it. And I'm praying that he won't go and carry a chair to open it one day. You know, that kind of thing. Now, why am I saying this? Then I tell myself, yes, it's the little children can harass you. They demand your time. You understand? My wife has a little child now, another little boy. Now, she can't go out much. She has to be home all the time because it's exclusively breastfed. Now, these are burdens on a man and a woman's soul, which is the reason why this perverted generation thinks having more than 2 children is a sin. Because we try to live for our own comfort. When you go down to Europe, where they have entrenched self as God, they don't even want to have children because the children have become a burden. I'm talking about the work of God. When they asked her, what's this woman's name? I don't know her name, but the husband's name, Pat Robertson. When they asked the wife, I think it was her, maybe their 50th marriage anniversary or 40th, you know, they've been married for many years. So he interviewed the woman. So she thought, what is your greatest achievement in life? They asked her, what is your greatest achievement in life? She said, raising my 4 children. There's another question they asked her, that what are the things you look back? What is the legacy you want to leave on this earth? She said, I raised my 4 children. 4 kids, they are doing very well. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, she saw raising the kids as a ministry. That God demands that you bring up godly offspring. This is what I'm coming to. No matter what trouble, harassment, destruction my boy will do in that house, he has to come back. Do you know why? It is my responsibility to personally train him. Few weeks is away. It's just a short few weeks. Sometimes they tell me, look at all this. In fact, when I get to Benin, anytime I go to see them, he knows I'm around. Everybody knows I have come by his behavior. I'm the only one that will tell him, come down from there now. And he responds instantly. You know grandparents, the way they do. Whether he comes down or not, he gets a piece of chocolate. So why should he come down? He loves his grandmother because she's the epitome of indulgence. You know what I'm trying to say? His drink, chocolate, everything. It's good. Like somebody said, one of my friends was saying that it's good that they have a place like that occasionally to go and cool their heads when their fathers are finished dealing with them. But when I entered the house, in fact, our help in Kechi was telling them that all this nonsense he's doing, that is only in Benin he can try it. That when he gets back to Enugu, my sister-in-law was telling me that she told them that this one is doing, wait till he gets back to Enugu, he will cool down by force. That his father is there. What am I saying? It is the work of God for me to raise him properly. That is why people are dying to get a job in bank. I told my wife, you know you have to raise the kids. Since I cannot stay at home, I have to win the bread, then you got to stay at home and win the kids. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, it is an assignment in life that God gives to people. And listen, to me, it's a challenge. I love thinking about it. It's my work. Look, what, no matter how I feel, like I was telling you the other day, I was telling him, you are a good boy. You are a man of God. You are the head indeed and not the tail. You are a smart child. Nobody would be better than you in whatever you are doing. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? That it will never happen that any of my kids will tell you a course is difficult. It's not possible. Because from now I am telling them that there is nothing that is difficult on this earth that they can't tackle. And I'm not saying it just because I want to make them feel good, but because indeed it is the word of God and I'm empowering them with that word. It's an assignment. I have to do it. God has not allowed anybody any responsibility. And then God has not allowed anybody the right to carry that responsibility for me. He said, every man will bear his own load. I was sharing with my wife the other day, there was one guy who was beating one little child. I told her, my wife, I said, you see that guy is erring. He said, the boy is sinned. I said, yes, but he's not his father. That if you thrash my child like that, I will beat you first. Then I go back home and discipline my child. You have no business to beat him for me. You don't. If it's in your class and you are his teacher, good. Within the realm of the class, you beat him, you discipline him as appropriate. But you are my neighbor. And you tell me my child came into your house, maybe jumped your fence and did something wrong, and you thrash him, you will go to jail. What you are supposed to do is to come and tell me. Then I will discipline him. If a neighbor touches my child, I won't hear story. And they say you are spoiling your child. No. You are crossing your bounds. Everything in life has a boundary. You don't discipline another man's child. If another man's child misbehaves, I'll just be looking at him. It doesn't concern me. I could talk to the father or restrain the person, you know what I mean? Restrain him from doing something wrong. But as per discipline, is not my responsibility. That's why Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, you can bear one another's burden, but everybody will bear his own load. That is, everybody will bear his responsibility. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, my son's grandparents can't train him for. I don't expect them to. I expect them to spoil him anytime he goes to see them. He should be spoiled by them. I am the one that will tackle him when it comes to training. Between my wife and I, he will chop all the cane necessary in the house. children going to Sunday school is a perversion. Let me tell you the truth. The truth is that children are meant to be taught. Now, when I say Sunday school, now any Sunday school, if you expect anything more than keeping the kids quiet, you are making a mistake. If I say this, it might surprise you. Ideally, children don't have to go to church. Okay. The fathers are meant to teach them at home. That, look, Sunday school in church is just storytelling and don't disturb the parent time. Do you understand my point? Their priest is the father. Their prophet is their father. All of these assisted closely by their mother. Now, why am I speaking like this? I'm talking about Hannah. Okay? Okay, I've not left what I'm saying. Hannah. God desires godly offsprings. When God chose Abraham, you know what he told Abraham? You know his excuse. I've told you that God doesn't just do things for nothing. God has reasons for doing the things that he does. I found out that Terah was the first to move to start going to Canaan. Then he stopped on the way. Then God called Abraham from Haran and said, okay, come and go to a land that I will show you. Now, when God was going to explain why he chose Abraham on the way to Sodom and Gomorrah, it says, seeing that he will teach his children in the way of the Lord. God looked at Abraham, said, this guy is one that will not neglect his child because he's making money. Do you understand my point? He said, because I want to give an everlasting covenant. Listen, I'm not trying to bless somebody like I blessed Nebuchadnezzar. That because God made Nebuchadnezzar ruler. You understand what I'm saying? No, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for somebody like Cyrus that I will just make king and give him food. I'm looking for somebody who I will have a covenant with his descendants forever. Therefore, it's compulsory that I choose somebody who has a heart to train his child. Are you getting the point I'm making? So God gave that to Abraham as an assignment. God chose him. He made sure he taught him well. So that one could teach Isaac. David would have been a total failure. He learned his lesson late. By the time he learned his lessons, you know, he didn't train Absalom. Did not train Adonijah. Did not train all those other boys who were raping their sisters and uprooting their fathers. But then after learning everything, when Solomon came, read Proverbs 1 to 8. They were the echoes of David, not the Proverbs of Solomon. In fact, there was a Bible I was reading yesterday. At the beginning of chapter 9, I think chapter 8, he said the Proverbs of Solomon. It's not started. Before that, it was the stories of Solomon. My father used to tell me. My father used to say. My mother would say. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Were it not that Solomon came at that time, David would have been a total failure. No child to follow him. God left him until in his old age, having learned all the lessons of life. Solomon came and he taught Solomon personally. And got schools of teachers to help him teach the boy. The boy learned with, look, when he said that God give me wisdom, it was not something intuitive. It was obedience to the instruction his father gave him. His father said, anytime you get to a crossroad, choose wisdom. Now I'm talking about Hannah. What am I saying about Hannah? God has a calling on everybody's life. I've just digressed to talk extensively that training children is a calling. It's a responsibility that God endows you with the ability to perform. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, Anna's case. Again, before I finally talk about Anna, let me finish what I was saying about Jesus. I quoted Psalm 40. I quoted Psalm 139. I quoted the story of Jeremiah chapter 1. And I talked about Paul also. And that all these things are not unique to these people. God indeed has a calling for everybody's life. Activating God's blessings. Let me say this. God's blessings, number one. Let me read something about the promise of God to Abraham. I'm not forgetting what I'm saying. I'm talking about Anna. Go to Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. So you shall be a blessing. Let me stop there. That's just what I want. God said, I will bless you and make your name great. Why? So that you will be a blessing. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, God, when he wanted to ensure that information technology moved fast, he empowered Bill Gates. You know, you see, you know, I don't have to tell you that we still have a very backward culture in this part of the world, in which traditionally wealth is measured by material possessions. If you go to what you and I call advanced countries, wealth is measured by what you are producing. Now, it's interesting how it's calculated. It's a long, twisted, but definitely true way of calculation. You have a company, maybe it's a publicly quoted company. The value of your shares is determined by the performance, which is actually a reflection of how much you are producing into the society that society is willing to pay you money for. Do you get my point? So they will tell you that Bill Gates is worth maybe $70 billion, telling you in effect that the production from his company is valued by the whole earth at $70 billion. That is his productivity, his personal ability to churn out wealth for the earth, that we have all agreed that it's worth $70 billion. Are you getting my point? The man has never seen $70 billion. He will never see $70 billion. It's our assessment of what he's producing. But my people in Nigeria, man, have you seen bank don't arrive? Waiting, just buy one S class. His bank account is, you start telling stories. The guy is not really worth anything in the eyes of God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because he's not a blessing, he's just blessed. Are you following me? What really says that you are a wealthy person is that you have been blessed to be a blessing. That you have been blessed to the extent that you have become a blessing yourself. Is what I'm saying making sense to you? So why did God bless Abraham? God said so that he can be a blessing. So that at the end of the day, in him, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now let me get back to the principle of Anna. Don't forget. What I'm trying to say is this. God has called everybody to do certain things with an assignment, with an empowerment. But that is not just to be blessed, but so that he will be a blessing to his generation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, sir. Now, let me now talk about Anna. Anna's calling in life, my understanding, is that through her, God will raise up a faithful priest. Do you understand my point? Who will walk before him forever. That through her, God will raise up a prophet after his own heart. Interestingly enough, you know, this priesthood, if you study the scriptures well, you will be able to relate, you know, you will look at, like, I'm not abusing anybody and saying anybody, but look at people like Seventh-day Adventists or people who say you must obey the law. You'll know that they really don't understand the scriptures well. Samuel was from which tribe? We just read it. Ephraim. He was not his Levite. Yet, God called him the faithful priest. Jesus was not the first to be consecrated a priest, not from the tribe of Levi. You can see an example in Samuel. A man who was ministering before the Lord in Shiloh, yet he was not a Levite. He was born by a father who was from Ephraim. God called him a faithful priest. God looked at Eli and his sons. He said, in Egypt, I swore to your fathers that you guys will rule this temple forever. He said, now, far be it from me. This kind of wickedness I've never seen. You guys are useless. I will raise for myself a faithful priest from another tribe. Now, what is Anna's problem, role here? Anna's role was to give birth to the priest. Oh God, she loved her husband so much, she was enjoying her husband. I don't know what God saw and said, these people, the way they are going, this son will never come, or if he comes, he won't be a priest. So the Bible says, and the Lord, who now? The Lord shut her womb and dashed the husband Penina. After dashing the husband Penina, that one began to stir up irritation inside her. Until, now listen, you see, instruction is good. It saves you time. If you focus on God's word, there are lessons you'll have learned in 10 years. God will teach you in 1 week. Because year by year, Hannah will go to the temple. Before, she didn't even go to pray. After all, she loved her husband loved her. Then when Penina began to release, time to pray. And her prayer was, God, you will shut the mouth of my enemies. All my enemies will somersault and scatter. They will disappear. They will gather and start praying against their enemies. Please, any congregation you go to, and the assignment is to pray against your enemies, just know you have missed your way. You have missed your destiny. You don't have work in life. Because when the ways of a man and a woman like Anna are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even their enemies to be at peace with them. So the one that is fighting against his enemies by himself and claiming to be using the power of the Holy Ghost and the fire of the Holy Ghost has a problem with God. Yes, call an all-night meeting. It is time to fight against your enemies. I told you the other day, a man of God was saying we should prophesy against the altars that are raised up against us. I said when Balaam was raising up altars and he couldn't bring any enchantment against Jacob, were they prophesying against him? They were sleeping. That is, at that point, their ways were pleasing to the Lord. When he now understood, he said, hey, these people, what are we going to do? Let us make their ways displeasing to the Lord. He called Balak, release those fine babes into the camp. Those guys, just watch. And it worked. That is, when they began displeasing, when they began walking in a manner displeasing to the Lord, then their enemies were strengthened against them. That is the way life is. Hannah was focusing on what? Answering Penina. Year after year, they will go to the temple. By the time she finishes praying, Penina will deliver another child. You think Penina delivered? We said she had a minimum of 4 children. You think all of them were twins? 2 sets of twins? Most likely one. So you go to the temple and pray. By the time she gets back home, Penina has released another one. She wouldn't even know when her husband went to Penina's camp. How is this thing happening? Actually, it was her own prayer that was empowering Penina's deliveries. Okay, you say, what are you saying? Okay, well, that's what I think. Because she will go, all my enemies, God said, you don't understand. You give Penina another child. Then she will go to the temple the following year, all my enemies. Then finally, one day, she said, God, please now, I beg. Okay, give me one child. One. Just one. And I promise I will give him back to you. Gabriel said, yay. At last. She has finally woken up to the reason why she was born. She has finally woken up to the reason why we gave her as wife to Elkanah. She has now finally woken up to the reason why she's alive at all. Instantly, she delivered, she conceived and had a child. The Anna principle is that until you start walking according to God's calling for your life, you will be frustrated. You can pray any prayer you like. You know, when I see preachers who like to take people's offerings, it's not the preacher's fault. It's God that ordained them to irritate people that won't walk with God. You tell you, this year is your year of breakthrough. 5,000 naira offering now. You collect it. Next year, you're worse off than you were last year. Are you getting what I'm going to say? As for every motor park you go to now, there are preachers who preach for 1 minute, take offering for 5 minutes. Go to Benin. I don't know whether it doesn't happen here. If you love me, you want me to succeed in this ministry. Bring an offering for a man of God, and God will protect your journey. I say, you see, he knows you are afraid, you're about to travel. You will give an offering for your life. That is a fact. But God is saying, my dear Hannahs, my problem with you is that you are not trying to give birth to my Samuel and raise him up for me properly. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, the day Hannah's breakthrough came was when she understood why God had given her birth. Was when she understood. She may not even have had a correct intellectual apprehension of it. But she just said in desperation, God, give me a man child. I will give him back to you. And God said, fine. Now I can close the house of Eli and his two sons. Are you following what I'm saying? That is what I call the Anna principle. That is, people are frustrated when they are trying to answer their enemies and not trying to please God. People are confused when what other people think about them is more important than what God thinks about them. People are frustrated in all that they do because they feel like, no, before I can do ministry, me too, I must make money, so that they will not think I came to ministry to make money. But all right, every business you do, I will ensure it does not succeed. They want the out of desperation and say, okay, God, I'm not doing it again. Just give me one microphone. Give me two people. I'll preach to them. I swear. In fact, the fellow will run to jungle and preach to one rat, one mouse, one dog, just to show God that he's really serious. Now, why am I saying this? The first thing about activating God's blessing is to understand that it's a matter of faithfulness, that we have placed too much emphasis on the fact that we are children of God. That God placed so little emphasis on it that when he's going to tell stories, look, Jesus was the one that gave us the power to become sons of God. Am I right or am I lying? I'm right. Yet he told parables and parables. All the parables were, a king had some servants, and when he was going, he gave them talents. Those are all his parables. When he was going to talk about sons, I remember the two parables of Jesus that I talked to about sons. Can you remember those two? And in both cases, it was an issue of whether the sons will serve. You know the story of the prodigal son? He said that there are two sons in the house. Both of them deserving of an inheritance from their fathers because they are sons. One demanded his inheritance and went and did what he liked with it. The other one said like this, all these days I have served thee, neither did I ever transgress any of thy commandments. And the father said, all that I have is yours. People say he was not demanding his rights. God was happy with him for not ever demanding his rights from God. After all, what saved the other one was when he said, from now on, I will never demand my rights. Is that not what he said? After he suffered, he said, I will go back to my father's house. He said, I realize that in his house, the servants eat better than this one I'm doing here. I will say, I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of your hired hands, one of your servants. At least I'll be able to eat. And the father received him back as his son. Listen, what does that mean? The proper son is the one that's ready to serve his father. When Paul was going to talk about Timothy, he said, he has served me in the course of this gospel as a son serving his father. Is that not what he says? What did he say in the book of Malachi? I will spare them like a man sparing his son that serves him. We want sparing on earth. We don't understand that it's not a right of a son. Is the right of a son that serves his father. I chipped something in as I was speaking. That service to God, it is not to come down here early and arrange this microphone because it is church, you know, in quotes, it is ministry. No. Service to God is to walk according to your calling in life. If it is to sweep the streets of Enugu, better sweep the streets of Enugu than going to sweep your church. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, until you do that, everything you are doing will be frustrated, no matter how much prayer you prayed. You can jump from mountain of fire and miracles to the mountain of fire and brimstone and finish all your enemies. When you finish, good enough, the person who is shutting your womb is not your enemy, he's your God. So when you are finished, you say, okay, sure, you have come back. All right? Can we start again? Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, the reason why you instruct people in the Word of God actually is to help them to be able to discover what God wants them to do. Number one principle, I'm trying to get to it, on activating the blessing of God is to understand that that blessing is an assignment in life. You know, we say all these our teachings with the what? Man on what? Assignment. At least I'm happy we'll be able to lay this foundation today. That the way to activate God's blessings, number one, is to recognize that it's a matter of birth, a matter of calling, that God has given birth to you so that you will be able to do something for your generation. And when you are faithful in doing that, once you set your heart, and remember we said your works will show that you have set your act on your heart on being faithful to accomplish it, blessings will flow. You don't realize, I won't go bother opening back to it, but you realize that after this woman gave birth to Samuel, all other things were now added to her. God gave her 3 sons and 2 daughters. As to say, thank you for giving birth to Samuel for me. And having the heart to carry him to a temple, you don't get the point. To say, God, if you like, kill him there. He's yours. Let us pray.